Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHP. Let's talk some soccer. Finally, the season about ready to begin. 9:30 coming up on Saturday night. You can catch Sporting Kansas City at Vancouver. It'll be on Fox Sports Kansas City. And the man who will be on the sideline, the manager and sporting director, is Peter Vermees. He's with us on our Sprint Guest Line. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Saran. How are you, pal?
Oh, spectacular, right? Never better and excited. I'll be honest with you. I'm always looking forward to the season, but this year, and I know it's partially maybe because there was no playoff run, so that the off season has been longer. There's no, you know, Open Cup and all that kind of stuff. But I've never been more anxious for one of your seasons than this year. I'm curious, what's the vibe around the team coming off the first non-playoff season in a long, long time?
Well, I guess I would say that we came into preseason with what I would say a really good attitude within the group, very committed. They did their work in the off season that prepared them for the preseason, and so I like the work ethic and the attitude of the team up until this point. So hopefully that's a good indication that they're going to have the desire, that aggressiveness that you need to compete in MLS season and be competitive.
Is there any speeches you have to give, or is the motivation there when you're not in the postseason? Does that motivate everybody? Give them a little extra step.
Well, I think there's a couple things that go with it, right? I think number one is you got guys that are returning that went through that last year, and so you check to see how they are. The way they came back, the way they did their work in the offseason, all that shows me that it definitely meant something to me, to them. Their pride is wounded a little bit, which is what happens to you. The question is, how do you react from it? And so far, the reaction has been very good. Then you got a group of guys that we brought in, newcomers, that don't really have any attachment to last year at all, but they're coming out here with kind of desire to prove to everybody, hey, you made the right choice in picking me to come here because I want to be here and I can help this, club. So it's a good combination of those two things that we're going to hopefully get a lot out of.
How is Polito? How is Reed? How are they settling in? How do you think the chemistry is so far? Is that something it's going to take a month before you can really gauge?
Yeah, I think that all those guys that we brought in, when you talk about Polito, Reed, Puncic, you take Gotti Kinda, Kyrie Shelton returning. When you look at those guys, and we add, the goalkeeper, Richard Sanchez, when you look at those guys, what's interesting to me is each one of the guys has excited me in that what I thought they could do, they can do, but they actually do it better than I thought they could do it, which is great to see. But when you have quite a few additions like we do, it also takes a little while for everybody to, I don't want to say get their feet wet. It's more to experience who we are, because you just don't have enough time in preseason to do that. And preseason games are preseason games. They're not MLS games. Just like when you watch the NFL play a preseason game, they're not NFL games. And that's what these guys need to experience. And we need to go through some of those games to start finding out a little bit more about the team, the guys, and what they're capable of, and then also what we have to, be better at, which I already know is a lot of things. But I say again, there's some exciting qualities about all those players that I mentioned.
Granted, you mentioned the qualities and everything, but is reality that you just got to get out there and play against it, more? And I know you've had preseason games, but until you go through the regular season, that chemistry will build. There's no doubt you would agree that the chemistry will be better midseason than it is to start the year, right?
Oh, for sure, for sure. And like little things, the little things that you're working on, they always take the longest Because what has to happen is that first off, they have to have real experiences with those little details. And then they also have to find success with those little details. And then those details that they were thinking about now are part of their instinct. And now they start doing them without even thinking about it, really. It's just part of the everyday conditioning and program. And so that will just help the group gel that much better. But we got to start experiencing that stuff.
How important
week in, week out.
Right. How important is it for your club to get off to a good start this year to not be trying to dig out of a hole?
I mean, everybody would say that, yeah, you want to get off to a good start for sure. I don't lose the aspect that when you go play the first game away from home, you're playing somebody else's home opener. And there's a lot of emotion that's centered around that. And the key for us is be focused in on what we have to do in our game. And so that's how we have to go get the result. But yeah, it would be great to get a good start. Of course, you know, puts us in a good position early on. We gain some confidence with some of the stuff we're doing. The guys start believing more and more. The other way, you fight out of it a little bit. But it either way, you know, as you know, it's a very long season, and we have to be prepared for everything.
Yeah, you're not gonna win or lose the championship in the first month. In some ways, I ask that question because I think it's a good question. Other ways, I think it's the dumbest one ever. Like if you could wave a wand and say, "Yeah, I want to start 4-0," you do it, right? But you know, and I don't know if you can, you know, draw that, make that point to your team, and somehow that rises them up, or do you just prepare your team and you go out and play? And if you're the better club that day, it gets done. I mean, that's the psychological part of the coaching. There's the tactical part, there's the psychological part, and being a guy that doesn't reside in a professional locker room, I don't know how much of it's psychological versus the coaching and the talent.
There's a lot of psychological involved, but there's no doubt that that's a big part of the coach, right? The man management, the team management, all of those things are really, really important to a team, to success. And, you know, as you know, I think you and I had this talk last year and talked about the last season. I think at times I was probably too demanding if I had to be, you know, a critic of myself. And it was a lot that I had to learn about that in those moments. And so at the same time, I'm also really demanding, you know, that's who I am. And so I have to find the right times for that stuff. But no doubt, man management, the psychological aspect is boy, it's, I don't know, the percentage, is it 70, is it 80%? I don't know, but it's a strong part of the success and failure of a team.
We mentioned additions. Winston Reed comes in. You know, he's been battling it for 18, 19 months. How healthy is he? Is he 100% now?
So he has no problem with his injury. What he needs is consistent training, and he needs to get a rhythm of that and then obviously start increasing his minutes to be able to play games. What he is, I mean, honestly, he could, you know, if he was growing up here in the States, he probably would have played for the Chiefs. I mean, he is a monster. But what's amazing is it's how big he is, and then how explosive he is, and then how good he is with the ball at his feet is pretty impressive for the size of the guy. Reads the game really well. He's cool. You know, I would say, you know, look, he's not gonna lace him up for this weekend. He's not ready for that yet. But he's getting there. This will be, you know, a full week of training this week, and then we'll get another full week next week, and we'll just keep evaluating him as we go. But again, it has nothing to do with an injury. It all has to do with just rhythm of play and being in there consistently.
I try to explain to people when they talk about how, like, you know, 6'7", 240-pound guys would be great playing soccer. Can you imagine if they're out there? I try to explain to them that, you know, you're running, like, you know, a third of a a quarter of a marathon in these games, that you're not going to carry that weight up and down. Is Reed a guy that will play the full 90, or is he a guy that, you know, you're going to have to spot?
When he is fit, easily play full 90. Okay. Easy. No problem.
Okay. And do you have a timeline on when he'll be ready to go? You say close.
I'd like to say, you know, I'd like to say that in the next month that he's going to, you know, be available. Okay. That's what I would say. Because again, what I don't want to do is I don't want to take a step forward and then two steps back.
Right.
I don't want to interrupt his play. I got to make sure that, and I said this to him, that as much as he needs to be patient, And I said, I'm saying that to him, but I'm really saying it to myself. As a coach and as a staff, we have to be patient as well because there's a lot that he can offer, I think, our team.
He's 31 years old. Graham Zusi's 33. Espinoza, I think, is 33. I believe Beasler's 32. And yet then you've got guys that, you know, are still in their teens, right? Busio, everyone knows, is the youngest guy on the field. But, you know, is this the last go-round for the, let's start with that, the older guys, and I know it's not for Reed, you just brought him in, but is this kind of like, hey, it needs to work this year, or the Espinoza, Beasler, Zusi, it may be time, you know, for this organization to go in another direction? I know there's a couple of contracts that are up as well this year up with those guys.
Yeah. I mean, that's always going to be a part of the equation, right? But I've always said to those guys, I said, look, there's no doubt you guys are getting older, but I don't think that they're too old to play the game. But that also sounds really good from my lips. But at the end, they have to make sure that they prepare themselves for each season. They have to work harder in the off season than they've ever worked if they want to continue to play at a high level as a soccer player and play here. And what I'd say is, you know, the guys that you mentioned, they all worked extremely hard in the off season, and they've come back and they've been you know, very good all throughout preseason. But, you know, again, preseason doesn't mean anything. The real games are starting, and those guys got to be a part of helping us, you know, get results and achieve success. And if they don't or somebody else doesn't, then they're up for scrutiny, as we all are. And so it's part of this profession. It's part of the way you go through your career, and they know that. But I don't think that they're too old to play the game right now. But again, what I say doesn't mean anything unless they go out and prove it.
What about the youth? You know, Shaoui's 23. You know, that's a prime age for a lot of soccer players. Juan Cousin, Juan Kamal is 21 now, and Busio is 17. How much do you expect for their game? Cameron Duke, I'm looking through some of the guys, you know, that are really down on that lower end of the age scale. Do you expect any of the super young guys to come in and give you a boost? Not really Shaoui. I mean, he's been around. We know what he's at least been capable of to this point, but he is still on the younger side. Is there a big boost for him? Are there any of those teenage kids or Kamal who's just passed it? Are you expecting them to step in and really Felipe Hernandez, who's just, you know, he's 21 years old. Any of those guys that you're expecting to make a big leap this year?
I think that all those guys you're talking about, they're all homegrown players, and they're all guys that we've invested a lot of time in our academy into, and also guys that have now gotten time with our USL team, SKC2. And so, you know, they're continuing on their development. I would say that Boost continues to be the one that has been the closest, for sure. Even though he's 17, he just continues to get better and better each year. I've always said this. Look, no matter how much I want a kid to be good, in our sport, player development, that line is thrown out everywhere. Oh, the development of player development. But at the end of the day, player development is centric from the player, right? It's all that comes from the player. If the player is not motivated for it, if the player doesn't want to work and be the best that he can be, it doesn't matter how much I want him to be good. So, I've had these conversations with those guys, and they just got to keep going through the process, because what happens is that I've seen this many times, is that I've seen where kids start out really good, and all of a sudden there's this tipping point, and the tipping point goes in the wrong way. And I've seen other kids that are going through the process, and then all of a sudden they just, boom, they just come on the scene. I mean, Zeus was that way. I remember Zeus, you know, I took over years ago, and I started putting him in the lineup on a regular basis, and the first few games of the season, he was kind of, you know, he was kind of mediocre, and he wasn't taking hold of the opportunity, and we opened up the stadium and goes into that game, and he played great. And then all of a sudden, the next game we played Dallas, and it was like his coming out party. And then all of a sudden, he just took off. It was, you couldn't stop him. So all guys have a different time. These guys are no different. The question is that it's going to come down to whether or not they truly want it and can stick it out.
We're talking to Peter Vermees here in the program. there's not a lot of heavy expectations on your club. You read the MLS stories. Guys are picked kind of middle of the pack. Some of the odds I've seen have you guys below middle of the pack as far as your odds to win the MLS Cup. Is that a motivating factor? Is that a chip on your shoulder, on the team's shoulder?
The first thing I say, we shouldn't have any. Nobody should be rating us because we didn't do anything last year. What I would say is, if I was a player, I would be. There's not many things I need to motivate me. I would be thinking about that every single time I'm on my bus to an away game, or I'd be thinking about it in my car driving to a home game. Those are the types of things that I would just, you know, I just put in that little closet in my head, and I just open it up, you know, every game day and just get going. So should it be a motivating factor? Absolutely. But, you know, I'd like to think that, again, there's got to be something intrinsic inside you that also wants you to be the best that you can be all the time. And it shouldn't have to be outside motivation all the time. It should be things that you want to be the best. And I think those are the types of players that always find success if that's what they have. And you have to have intrinsic motivation.
As a guy who likes to have more than a rooting interest on a game, in other words, I like to make a wager, I think they're – I think the odds are wrong from the standpoint. I get there shouldn't be any expectations, and I would use that as a motivating tool for my team as well. However, you know, before that was a 7-year run in the playoffs, and you had a massive amount of injuries and the Open Cup. Now, I know that's not something I expect you to talk to your team and fill them with, well, if we, you know, here are our excuses for not doing it. You focus on what happened on the field, making sure guys are prepared and healthy. But, I mean – I think from an odds standpoint, they're selling you short, right? I mean, I don't think you look at your club and go, we're bottom half, do you?
No, I don't at all. But it really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what we actually do on the field. And
true.
That's where players, right? And this is, that's why I say there's so much, when the game starts, there's so much control by the player, right? He has so much in his hands in a soccer game. Right? It's not like I'm sitting on the sideline calling plays out where I can call timeout and say, everybody come over here, let's try and do this or whatever. It's the preparation prior to, and then it's that competitiveness that you have in game. To me, that's where the difference is. And you have to find those little motivating factors that put you over the top. That's what the difference in the game is. And so we have to find for us, what are those factors that are most important to us? And then use that to be motivated for game after game. And I know most people think, well, that's what you do for a living. That's what you're supposed to do. It's a lot more than that. It's not just that. If that was the case, then every single team would win every game.
One more before we get to the Final Four, and that's I read a ranking on the MLS site of the top 50 players. They have Pulido at 21 and Russell at 49. Those are the two guys. And listen, 26 teams in the league, that'd be on average. Everybody should have a couple of players in there. So I don't think you were slighted or anything, or were you? Do you think you have more players that belonged in that top 50, and are you okay with the rankings of the two that got in there?
So I was told about this. I haven't looked at it. There's a lot of stuff, as you know, I don't really look at. I was told about this. You know, we've been in years where we haven't gotten anybody and stuff like that, and next thing you know, at the end of the season, we got like five guys in it, right? That they get picked for like best 11 or whatever, you know. And so, again, I don't expect right now that we should be paid much respect. I think respect is earned. It's based on what you do. It's how you do it every day, every game, and at the moment. Nobody's proven anything, so they're going to go based off of last year. And because of that, then go. Obviously they're going to pick players that they think should be good. But again, it's going to come down to what they do on the field. I think it's great if they use it as a motivating factor, but it doesn't mean anything to me because at the end, I care less about all that stuff. All I want to do is win.
Saturday night, 9:30 on Fox Sports Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City takes on Vancouver, getting the 2020 season underway. We get the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute Final Four underway. You know, the Kansas City Orthopedic Institute has a Ortho Urgent Care. That's open 7 days a week. They're also proud to have received the 2019 Prescani Guardian of Excellence Award, that award given for patient experience. You can find out more by visiting their website, kcoi.com, or by calling 913-319-7633. Peter, I will start you with this. How did you celebrate Fat Tuesday?
I had Mexican food.
Classic. I love it. All right. That's fantastic. We've got the NFL Combine going on right now. What was your best 40 time?
Oh, man. I mean, now you're putting me under something here. Shoot, I couldn't even tell you. Because you gotta remember something. Soccer is not like football, and especially back when I was playing. You know what we used to do? This is the truth. I'm on the national team. I'm flying back from playing in Europe. I'd come in, I'd fly in and get here at, you know, whatever, late at night, because, you know, you're coming from there. So I get back, get here late at night, whatever, on a Saturday night. Sunday, wake up, go out to the field, and we do a Cooper test. And I don't know if you remember what the Cooper test. The Cooper test is you have to do 2 miles under 12 minutes. And I'm playing a regular season already in Europe, so we never did stuff like that. It was more of like fitness based, like how long could you keep running before you dropped dead? That was the test we did.
I love it. All right. There's people saying Patrick Mahomes is going to get $40 million a year. When does the MLS have a player making $40 million a year? Beckham was at like 25 was the word back in the day. When do we have a $40 million a year player in the MLS?
Well, if you take the fact that he got ownership of a franchise, then he blows that number away, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I'm talking about Beckham, right? So, because he got the ownership. Part of his deal was when he was done retired, he got ownership. He got a franchise. He could activate it for a very small fee, comparatively speaking, to today. So he blows that away. But $40 million, I won't be coaching. I'll tell you that. Shoot, I don't know, 30 years? I don't know, 20 years? God, that's a far cry from where we are now. Let's just say 20 years.
20 years, okay, 2040. I'm going to put you down for 2040. We'll see if you're right. Unless I'm fired, we'll definitely be working because there's no hope of retirement in my future, that's for sure. all right, and finally, the best city you visited this offseason was what?
Oof.
You have quite a bit of travel.
I'd have to say I did a bunch of scouting, and then I also did a little bit of, as you know, I go to places to do some continue education for myself. It was Bayern Munich. I went to Bayern Munich. It's good. Munich was good. Very good.
Yeah, I can imagine that would be it's a very it's a historical place, obviously, but a very cosmopolitan city as well. It's one I'd like to see.
Yeah, great. Really, great time there.
Good to know. I'll book it up for next week. Peter, always great talking to you, my friend. Like I said, very excited to get this season going. So thanks so much for the time, and best of luck up in Vancouver.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
The Program with Seren Petro.
He likes the way I talk, and I like the way he talks.
Mm-hmm. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz end of the hour answer. How many players have had 1,000 rushing yards and 1,000 receiving yards in the same season? NFL. I don't believe it's happened in college, has it? Yeah, probably it has.
No one's done it in college.
They haven't. I thought maybe someone
done it in college.
I don't know. I mean, like
what are
some
you, what
division.
Are you insane?
Yeah, but I like to cover the bases.
You lost your mind?
Possibly.
What do you think this is?
You have to have a mind to lose.
Madden? What's the Madden of college football?
NCAA football. They don't make it anymore, though.
Why?
I don't. That's a question for EA Sports.
It is. It would seem to be.
What I love is the absolute outrage that I would even begin to ask Jed. You have video games, right? You have a video game console, right?
I do. Well, sort of. I have a GameCube.
You used to always sit down there and play Rob and Madden.
Yeah, on GameCube.
What is that? Is that outdated?
With the 2004
is it like
NFL roster?
Atari? It was modern Atari?
It was popular when I was a senior in college, which was you know, 15 years ago. First senior year, that is.
Yeah, so anyway, 1,000 and 1,000.
How many?
How many? Well, Roger Craig was the first.
Mm-hmm.
I know Marshall Faulk did it.
Yep.
Somebody just did it this year, didn't they? Kai Kamara or Alvin Kamara? Kai Kamara.
Kai Kamara
did it. We got something.
Wow. Didn't see that coming.
Somebody did it this year, didn't they? What the hell? Who am I missing? Somebody did it. Dalvin Cook? The Vikings? No, it wasn't him. Somebody did do it this year.
Someone did do it this year.
Who? What am I? They were blowing up. Well, I had a bad fantasy year, so they weren't on my team. I can tell you that.
Uniform number help?
Yeah.
22.
What am I missing here?
What number did he wear in college? Let me see.
Wasn't Melvin Ingram who? God, was he one of the top picks? And I'm.
He was a high pick. Top 10 pick.
Oh, Saquon Barkley.
Nope.
No, he's 26. Top 10 pick at running back. Zeke Elliott.
I believe he went 8th overall. Wore the number 5 in college.
Garrison Hurst?
He's 8th overall pick in 2017.
God, this is another one. This is as bad as Mitch Richmond, isn't it? Good Lord. Lost my mind. Well, we're playing for great Cajun food from Jazz. Talk about Jazz while I think for a second.
Yeah. Well, Jazz
live music
is awesome.
Tonight.
Yes, live music every time.
You're going to go get like 3 meals tonight.
No, I have to get back on the thing. Maybe on Saturday I'll go back up there again.
5 in college.
We're number 5 in college.
3 locations. Come on.
3 locations. Yes, up at the Legends, which is the place I often
22.
Go. Also 39th and State Line, which is one of the more enjoyable places just because of the atmosphere. And you can write on the wall. It's kind of fun. It's fun to see what else people have written.
Have you written on the wall there, Curtis?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
More than once.
Me too.
You almost have to.
Yeah, you know, especially if you're sitting up kind of near the bar area in the raised
Which
up spot.
I agree.
What I often do.
There might be a sketch or two that I might have authored.
Sketch or five. Has...
You forgot the Independence location right by the wonderful Silverstein Eye Center where the Kansas City Mavericks play.
All right. Give me a division.
NFC South.
It's not Kamara.
Nope.
No, the Bucks suck.
Yeah.
Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
God bless.
Next 10.
Three. I'm going to say three.
Three. It is those three.
Yeah, I don't think there's very many. God.
It's Tommy Moe just sent me a text. Dad played the NFL. I'm like, that would have been too much of a giveaway.
Oh,
Christian McCaffrey, 1,300
what a
yards.
Horrible, horrible performance by me today on this.
1,300 yards and almost 1,400 and 15 touchdowns and 1,000 receiving.
God bless. That's just awful.
Did you see it to this level with him? Even 8th overall?
Give all credit to? I don't think he's ever gotten anything else right when it comes to the NFL, but one guy was on this guy, Jake Gutierrez. I mean, he hasn't gotten anything else right ever. No, Jake knows his football. But Jake, we had our dynasty draft. He had the number one overall pick. And there was what, McCaffrey? And what year is he in his second?
17 was the draft pick. Was the draft
17,
class.
18, 19, so he's in his third year.
Yeah.
There's McCaffrey, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, and somebody else. And the consensus number one pick was not.
Dalvin Cook was in that class.
Yeah, there was one. There was a bunch of backs.
Joe Mixon.
Might have been the consensus number one.
Wow.
And for what was going to be, fantasy running backs, because he seemed to be the guy who was going to step in and be the number one guy with the Bengals right away. Kareem Hunt, you thought was going to be pretty good.
Leonard Fournette.
That's who the highest pick was.
Yeah.
And he didn't take Leonard Fournette. He took Christian McCaffrey. So I give Matt props to Jake Gutierrez. He was like, nah, I'm going McCaffrey. And after 1 year, you're like, nah, I don't know that you got it right. Now,
last year,
he clearly got it right. The last 2 years, he's been awesome. So
1,000 and 1,000 stole Danny Amendola's girlfriend away from him, too.
Did he really?
When you have to write a player's name and you see so-and-so girlfriend that pops up. I guess Danny Amendola was not – professional athlete, this may stun you, was not entirely faithful. And she's like, next. You're old news. Going McCaffrey
so,
here.
And
I think she's dated a third player too. I think this is number three for her.
Stunning.
Yeah.
There's a massive upset. We've never heard of that kind of thing happening in this town, have we?
No. Some Sports Illustrated swimwear model. Olivia Culpo, if you all care to.
Really?
You
got a photo? Got a thumbs up there from... Nah, not my type.
Beautiful woman, yeah.
She's a pretty girl, just not my type. Yeah. I'm not saying she's, oh my God, what a dog. No, that's not at all what I'm saying. She's a pretty girl, not my type.
You don't look at
her. The good news for him,
yo,
he doesn't have to worry about me taking aim.
Dude, come on, man. Quit winking at her.
I am a taken man, so he is safe. Our thanks to Peter Vermees. Great to be talking soccer with Peter Vermees.
Fat Tuesday.
Had Mexican food.
That is a guy who is almost never, at least that I can tell, affected by anything else around him. You know, like opinion. What, Fat Tuesday? Had Mexican food. And like no thought of, well, actually, I've had Mexican food. So what?
Yeah, he's
deal
not,
with it. Yeah, he's just no. No worry.
They open against Vancouver. Vancouver, the only team to finish below them in the Western Conference last year. So, theoretically, an opportunity to get off on a good start on the West. But there's not a lot being expected of Sporting. Now, they're one of the lower odds to win the Cup. Hmm. So, just FYI, I'd love to see them bounce back and have a big year. I think they'll definitely be better. And I'm betting on playoffs. Are you betting on playoffs?
Yes.
Curtis?
Yes.
You're a complete follower. Once the two of us do, we don't even need to ask you, do
we? If you both would said no, I probably would still say yeah. I mean, just the way this franchise is run, I trust Peter Vermees.
If you've got time and an offshore gambling account or know somebody in Iowa or another state that is – by the way, they were supposedly talking sports betting on the Kansas side today at the legislature, I was told.
Hmm.
So maybe we'll get it soon. But I'd take a shot at Sporting. I don't think they'll probably win the championship, but the odds make it a good bet. So
yeah, there's value.
Their pedigree, and I think what I got to believe is like a softness in setting lines on MLS soccer. I'd go down that road. Let's talk some NFL CBA. We touched on this a little bit. A majority vote. By the way, we'll take your phone calls right now. 913-3810-810. Oh, good. Tommy Moe's up there. Well, I need a break, right? So let's take Tommy Moe, and then I'll get into the CBA thing because I don't want to keep Tommy hanging. I know how important he is. Tommy, you're in the program. What's going on, Tommy?
Your last statement was so true.
Isn't it? You're a very important man. I know that.
That always talk so highly of me, your close friends.
That's right. We're big fans. We love Tommy
right.
Moe.
Yeah, there's one guy that might be on the chopping block with the Chiefs, and I don't know what cost it'll be to cut or keep, but LDT, to me, has not performed up to his contract. Look how many games he's played in the last 3 years, and this year he was very healthy, but the 2 years prior, he's missed over half the games. Now, probably it's down to maybe a third or a quarter now, but, you know, there's one guy that you really haven't mentioned, Martin Rankins. Now, he'll be coming off knee surgery, but I thought he was quietly doing a very good job. When he filled in for Wiley, to me, cut him, Saran, he can't play.
I'm with you. There's not a big savings on Wiley. There is no savings. There's no cut because he's already a free agent. So, you know, you don't save any money. You just don't bring him back, right?
Sure.
That doesn't give him any more cap room. But cutting Duvernay-Tardif would save them $5 million against the cap. So that is a way to clear some more cap room. And
his starts since 13 are 13, 14, 11, 5. 14.
Yeah, I'm with you. He has not lived up to the contract, and I think the Chiefs. I think he is a great guy and a great story.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's amazing that Andy Reid won a Super Bowl basically with replacement level players guard to guard. I mean, Duvernay-Tardif, they're not paying him to be a replacement player, but that's really what he played like according to Pro Football Focus's grades. Austin Ryder, after a really good couple of spot starts last year, kind of came back to earth to being a guy that, okay, there's a reason why he was on the waivers. Good, solid, did a good job for what you're paying him.
But can get beat by top-notch defensive
tackles. But I do think it's important to note that, like, when left guard was a rotating door, and I think one of the keys to left guard is just don't let Cam Irving play. Mm. Right? That's one that's there. There's a cut that saves money as well. I think it's three or four that cutting Cam Irving saves them. That one's got to happen, and I truly, honestly will not understand what's going on. I would have to assume there are compromising photos of somebody if he is kept, because there is – that's the one, can we agree? No reason on Cam Irving to keep him, right?
He was a great cheerleader for the Super Bowl. He really enjoyed everyone's – he was in the end zone probably more than Damian Williams was in the end zone celebrating. My God. And there, how about when Patrick Mahomes flexed, and he flexed next to him, and you brought this up last year when he signed. Was there much difference in their arm?
Yes, Mahomes' guns were much bigger. Mahomes' guns were much bigger.
I thought that was so funny. I know you guys are up against it, but I just thought that would be one cut that I don't think it would hurt the team financially or on the field. I'll let you guys go.
All right, I appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for the call, Tommy. Always good talking to you. No, listen, I think it's one that you really got to consider. By the way, for Cam Irving to go, Cam Irving's cap hit is
4.6.
4.7, 4.68. So we'll call it 4.7. But dead, nothing. So there's 4.7. You can cut Irving and Duvernay-Tardif, and you've got about $10 million, right, that you've saved. Now, the one thing I want to point out to everybody is you already don't have two left guards, right? So you cut those two. You're down four offensive linemen. And I'm with you. They do like Sanat and Rankins. The young tackles.
Martin Rankin. I get that confused with Logan Mankins, used to play for the Patriots. Martinez Rankin.
I think they do like those guys, and I think those are guys to step in for two of those spots, but you still got to go sign two more. Mm-hmm. And you can pretty much count, just even down at the bottom of the barrel, about $1 million each. Right? So, you know, you put $2 million back of the nine and a half you saved, you're at $7.5 million in savings. Because somebody's got to play those spots. Right? So that's the game. You don't save everything you think you do, because you got to put somebody on the roster for those spots. So if just as a rule of thumb, if you add $1 million back for every guy you cut, then you're at least in the ballpark of what you're really going to have, what you're really freeing up. So you're freeing up another $7.5 million. And again, there's still Fuller and all the names we go through all the different times. I think there are cuts. And I think the other thing is there are renegotiations. But who are they? And I'm going to tell you, no player wants to renegotiate. So you ask them to do it once, okay, they've done you a favor. You go back again and you're playing the jerk card.
Yeah, it's what the hell.
Like, who else have you gone and asked to take a cut? So, listen, if Hitchens is going to stay around beyond this year, I think he's a prime candidate to take some money and convert it into a bonus and end up back loaning, if you think you're definitely going to want Anthony Hitchens on this team next year. I think he's a candidate with the $13 million, $12.5 million cap hit. Eric Fisher converted money last year. I don't think you can go to Fisher again. Mm-mm. Are you going to go to Tyrann Mathieu?
No.
Mathieu and Frank Clark, to me, you can't go to because they did the – we'll take the signing bonus and the low salary, and are you going to renegotiate the two guys that you spent the whole time talking about how they changed the culture? You're going to go to them and go, by the way, we need you to renegotiate. Which, if you're going to ask the quarterback to take less, then yes, go ask Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. Personally, I'm not asking the quarterback to take less, and I sure as hell wouldn't be asking Frank Clark or Tyrann Mathieu to renegotiate. To me, your candidates to renegotiate are guys that you think have somewhat underperformed. Right? And you can say, okay, listen, you got a big number. We got to slide it around. That's Anthony Hitchens. To me, I'm cutting Irving. I think you probably Damian Wilson, I mean. That savings is about $3 million. Again, $1 million to replace him, whoever's going to play the position. So you got a two. We're about $9.5 million extra. You want to go to Dustin Colquitt? Cutting him, you save $2 million. Again, a decent punter is going to be about at least $1 million.
Sorensen?
I don't know. I thought Sorensen was great. I'd have a hard time asking him to take a cut. A renegotiation to keep him around and pull some money out.
to backload it and say, listen, you're going to be here beyond now. You can cut Sorensen and save 3.75, but I don't think you want to cut Sorensen.
Right.
I think he was a really valuable player for this team. Yeah. After that, you
Once he figured out the role and they found the way to use him, he was quite good.
After that, you get down to guys. I mean, Sammy Watkins, obviously.
Yeah.
You're either cutting or renegotiating. And the problem with renegotiating is you're going to – it's going to be $7 million plus.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Seven plus whatever you do. You know, I'm all for renegotiating Sammy Watkins. I you know, renegotiate it and bring that number 3 years for $30 million, and you give him a $10 million signing bonus. So he gets the 10 prorated out plus the league minimum plus what you owe.
And
you
each side would have, I mean.
You bring his cap number down to about 10 this year. You guarantee that he's going to be there next year. And then after that, you're in the same spot you are this year.
Yeah,
I'm fine with some kind of move like that. But if he goes, no. What the Super Bowl, the playoffs I had?
Yeah,
there's somebody's going to give me 3 for $50.
The Chiefs would say,
Chiefs
would say, well, you are often aren't here, and he would say, yeah, but when it counts, I am.
Right.
And still,
so there's not that many renegotiation candidates. Fisher was the guy that renegotiated last year. I think Hitchens could be the guy this year. Everyone says Kelsey. I think if you want to extend Kelsey, okay. But Travis Kelce's the first tight end in the history of the National Football League with 4 consecutive years with 1,000 yards. What he hit like
he's
two other records.
He's your quarterback's favorite safety blanket.
And he pals around with him.
When they need a first down, they go to 87.
Pissing off 87 is not is not tops on my agenda.
Yes.
So, there really are not that many places to look.
No.
They're already very top-heavy on the cap. So, I you can clear some money. You got a draft that's going to take $6.5 million or so. That knocks out a big chunk of the 16.5, and you got that list of guys to sign. So there are going to be some hard cuts one way or another. And Chris Jones and the Jags, Stars and Jags, I'll listen to it, man. I will. Mm-hmm. And Bashaud Breeland, by the way, I don't think I ever said this, was 1 year, $2 million. Is what he ended up counting against the cap. 1 year, $2 million. So he was closer to just a pure Jag than I thought. I was thinking his number was like 4 or 4.5. But I think somebody's going to offer him 3 or 4 years. So when he walks, I think you got to keep him or Fuller, right? And, I think Breland's going to get the bigger deal because he's the bigger, more – he looks the part more, even though he tends to be up 1 year, down the next, up 1 year, down the next. I think he looks the part. I think somebody's going to give him a big dough.
You could argue Fuller's more valuable to this system.
He's more flexible.
Yeah.
He's more flexible.
So let the guy who's going to get the most money go and keep the guy that you value more.
We'll take a break here in the program. We're going to talk some more Combine here in a little bit as Austin Gale is going to be with us from Pro Football Focus. We'll talk something about the NFL CBA, something to keep in mind, about whether or not they're going to get that majority vote from the NFLPA and get this CBA locked in with the 17 games and the extra playoff team on each side. We'll talk about that next here in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
Anybody out there have any questions?
Why are you so stupid?
Oh, that's a good question. Anybody else have any questions?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the NFL CBA. Majority vote from the NFL. All right. Then yes, then no, and it will pass. I think one of the things that's interesting is, like, you remember how, like, when this came down last week, they're like, oh, no, everyone's all negative. J.J. Watt's like, absolutely not. Russell Wilson was like, no. One of the reasons why this will probably pass is every player is going to get $250,000 for the 17th game. Now, if you are Russell Wilson, your game check's like $2 million a game. But if you're a second-year player, Your total salary is $585,000. So your game check is $36,500. So $250,000, you're voting yes. Third year player, $660,000, right? So $41,250. Fourth year, $735,000. Fifth year, $820,000. Those are the league minimums. All league minimum players are going to vote yes. Like the NFLPA, no player has ever There's been like a handful of guys ever that have been like, oh, let's set some money aside for healthcare. All right, Tim Grunhardt's talked about how he'd be like, hey, guys, what do you think about, like, you know, maybe retirement fund? And it's like, screw you, give me my check, was what they would always say. And I don't think the attitude or culture around the NFL has changed much. The NFL owners, and by the way, they go from 47% of the total revenue to 48.5%. So they're going to get more money put into the salary cap as well. One of the things I think they were going to get was, like, as it is right now, if you have guaranteed money in your contract, even if it's going to be paid out over 4 years, the team has to put it in escrow after you sign the contract. So, like, where you hear $110 million in guaranteed money, I think maybe like 80% of it's like Goff got $109 million in guaranteed money. 80% of that had to be put into an escrow account. Like, it dates back to when they were worried about teams going out of business and not having the guaranteed money.
Yep.
And now they're like, okay, these teams are swimming in cash. We don't have to worry about that. And they feel like that's a drag on guaranteed money that's given out because the team, even though they don't give it to the players right away, they do have to set a bunch of it aside and can't touch it. So there are other things the players are getting in this that they're going to vote yes, and it's not going to be close.
And they wouldn't have put it to those if they thought it was going to fail.
No. 70% of the players.
Like, no, which rep abstained?
70% of the players are under $250,000 a game.
Wow.
Time for our Deli Fresh End of the Hour question. Sponsored by Good Sense. Chosen by KC Sandwich lovers for 30 years. Good Sense. Not because it's easy, but because it's better.
All right, what is the Lakers' record this season when LeBron James scores 30 points? They've had 18 games. What's their record on those games? Brought to you by Good Sense.